Chapter 4. As I came back into the backyard behind my trailer, my mind was locked on the problem of Ursinger. Amrila and Nylame and I would have to go back to the Gloom in the next few days for the War Council, and the dwarves might be able to manufacture weapons to help in that fight soon. I just needed to find out more about Belzat. Growler and Dredd ran up to greet me as I walked through the backyard, and I took a moment to throw a ball around for them, refill their water, and fill up their food bowls. It was wild how much like dogs the Garms were. "We should move you guys into the new yard," I said as I wrestled the ball out of Growler's mouth, and then he jumped back and lowered his front quarters in a playful, puppy-like gesture. I threw the ball again, but Dredd shot across the yard like a white streak of lightning and got the ball first, and then he proudly brought it back to me and dropped it at my feet. "That's a good boy." I grinned and threw the ball a couple more times before I went back to the new house. When I walked through the front door, Ipsith was in the living room with her hands on her hips as she stared at the furniture. "What's up, baby?" I asked as I came up beside her and put an arm around her waist.
"I don't like this arrangement,"
the white-haired woman stated in a firm tone. "What don't you like about it?" I had to suppress the urge to chuckle because this had started to happen more and more. Maybe it was an effect of the pregnancy or her just getting used to the fact that her opinion mattered. But the petite woman would see something, feel that it wasn't quite right, and then have to take a while to decide why she felt that way. For my part, I just accepted I'd have to move the furniture around a few times before she was satisfied.
"Should your chair be closer to the window?"
Ipsith asked as she cocked her head to one side and looked over at my lazy boy.
"I don't want you to have the sun in your face, but that dark corner feels so depressing."
"You tell me what you want me to move and I'll move it," I chuckled as I squeezed my first wife a little closer.
"Oh, you are so good to me,"
the elven woman smiled up at me.
"Oh, that reminds me. I think you should get Nylame some clothes and some pretty things for her room. She would never ask for them herself, but I think she deserves to have nice things all her own."
I couldn't agree more. I grinned down at the thoughtful, blue-skinned woman. "Why don't we get Nylame and Amrila and go into the city? Make a day of it."
"What a lovely idea,"
Ipsith replied as she threw her arms around me. About 20 minutes later, we were all in the Rubicon and headed to Illyria. After a quick stop at the drive-thru for iced coffee and a smoothie for Ipsith, we stopped at some of our favorite haunts. The mall was up first to get clothes for Nylame, and we all piled out of the jeep and headed into the climate-controlled corridors lined with shops.
"This reminds me of the marketplace back home,"
the Dolrath woman said as she looked around at all the stores and kiosks.
"But much, much bigger. There are so many options."
"Look around until you find stuff you like," I said. "Whatever you want. There's no need to be shy."
"I don't even know where to start,"
the dark-haired woman said with a nervous giggle.
"I do."
Ipsith flashed a warm smile as she took the taller woman's hand and led her to a store with women and men's clothes that had a fashionable outdoorsy feel.
"You are a strong, tough woman and need clothes to match."
Amrila and I grinned at each other as we followed and watched Ipsith enthusiastically lead the warrior woman through the store. The petite woman picked out several items to get Nylame started, like flannels and V-neck t-shirts made from a super soft jersey material. Then Ipsith got Nylame into one of the dressing rooms to try on what they found. "Do you think we should go look around at some of the other stores?" I asked Amrila as we waited and wandered around the clothes racks. "This could take a while."
"Oh, no,"
the horned woman replied with an amused expression.
"I want to watch this. I bet you will take 3 outfits before Nylame starts to pick items for herself."
"Yeah," I snorted as I looked at a fleece-lined button-up. "I don't think Nylame really cares about clothes. She might just be happy to let Ipsith pick stuff out."
"Nonsense,"
my Zinkari wife shook her head.
"Everyone cares about clothes. Even if they don't follow the fashions, they care about other things like function or comfort. Nylame cares about function. That's why Ipsith brought her here first."
"This is something you two have been talking about, isn't it?" I asked with a raised eyebrow.
"Of course."
Amrila shrugged and let out a devious little giggle.
"And Ipsith will hand Nylame a bunch of girly things until she cracks and starts to pick things for herself."
"Well," I chuckled, "that's one way to draw her out of her shell." Just as Amrila predicted, the first few outfits the Dolrath woman tried on were functional, but in softer colors that Ipsith typically wore. The first was a sweater with a wide neck, and a pair of light-colored jeans that hugged Nylame's muscular thighs and firm ass.
"What do you think?"
Ipsith asked as the Dolrath woman looked at herself in a full-length mirror.
"I like the pants,"
Nylame said slowly, as she turned to see what they looked like from behind.
"But the sleeves of this shirt are too long. They feel like they'll be in the way. I liked the shirt with shorter sleeves you picked out, but it seems a little cold for that.
What if you wore a shirt over it?
The petite woman asked.
Like Eddie does, you could also get a jacket for when you were outside.
Then Ibsith and Nyla May made another circuit around the store, and the Dolrath woman picked up more items that she liked. I was surprised how quickly my violet-eyed wife's plan had worked. Nyla May was a very unassuming person, and was clearly not comfortable with being spoiled yet. But with the shorter woman's help, Nyla May soon carried a big shopping bag of high-waisted jeans, soft t-shirts, and flannels. The Dolrath princess also wore a white crop top that showed off her six-pack abs, some figure-flattering jeans, and a dark denim jacket out of the store. A sturdy pair of black combat-style boots finished off the sexy, tomboyish look that had a definite appeal. The young guy at the register had been so distracted by how fucking hot Nyla May looked, he dropped several items as he removed the hangers, and he had to scramble on the ground behind the register to retrieve them. Now that the Dolrath woman had an idea of what she liked, we stopped at a few more stores, including a home goods store where we found some bedding, bedside tables, and several simple decor items. It struck me how similar Nyla May was to me. Ibsith and Amrila both had strong aesthetic tastes, where the dark-haired elf and I gravitated more toward practical and tangible preferences. Amrila's room was decked out in black and red, with moody lighting and plenty of skulls and daggers on the dresser and hung on the walls. But Ibsith loved pastels, florals, and anything that gave the room a serene feel to it. As I watched Nyla May pick out things for her room, the warrior woman showed more interest in how the blanket and sheets felt, and whether the bedside lamp would provide enough light while she polished the nicks out of her sword. After a few trips to the jeep to load up our purchases, my stomach started to growl. "Feels like lunchtime to me," I commented to the women. "How about we go get something to eat?"
"I'm starving,"
Ibsith agreed and placed a hand on her flat belly.
"That sounds wonderful."
"Do we want burgers or tacos?" I asked as I squeezed the last shopping bag into the back of the Rubicon.
"Tacos!"
All three of my wives chimed at almost the exact same time. "Tacos it is," I snorted. Then I drove us to a small Mexican restaurant close by that I knew had the best carne asada on this side of the Mason-Dixon line. It was a little past the normal lunch rush, and we practically had the restaurant to ourselves. After we got our drinks and put in our order, we munched on chips and fresh salsa verde with abandon.
"Are you sure you don't want Mrs. Whitmire's place once it's ours, Amrila?"
Ibsith asked as she dipped another tortilla chip in the spicy green salsa.
"As second wife, it's yours by right."
"Oh, I'm sure."
The horned woman nodded as she took a sip of her pop.
"It's going to take years to get the old woman smell out of there. And almost as long as that to paint over the horrible flowers all over the walls in the living room."
"That's actually wallpaper," I chuckled. "You have to remove it before you paint or it looks terrible. It's a pain in the ass."
"All the more reason for me to wait for the next house Eddie buys,"
Amrila replied as she wrinkled her nose.
"Sorry, Nyla May, I guess that sticks you with the terrible wallpaper and perfume stink."
"I don't mind."
The dark-haired warrior smiled and shrugged.
"It's good to stay busy, and it will feel all the more my own when I'm done."
As my wives chatted and we waited for our entrees, I watched the three of them laugh and enjoy the special bond they'd all formed in a relatively short time. Then I thought it might be fun to take them all on vacation. The forests of Ohio were filled with places where you could rent cabins, anywhere from the very rustic to the height of luxury. But none of my wives had ever seen the ocean either, and the idea of renting a beach house with its own private beach struck me. I was a rich man now, and I could afford something like that. But that thought still felt completely surreal to me. I'd grown up pretty poor, and now I could probably take my three wives to the Mediterranean and rent a villa without a single worry. But that would mean I'd have to get a new identity for Nyla May. Ibsith and Amrila both had IDs, passports, and papers that stood up to the scrutiny of an immigration agent. I needed to get some for my Dolrath wife, which meant a call to Owen McElfrish. I still wasn't sure how I felt about the Irishman since our last encounter, but I did trust Travis Meyer. The prudent lawyer had vouched for McElfrish, and that held a lot of weight with me. Maybe it was worth it to call the sketchy broker and see how things went. If I still didn't feel comfortable with Owen after that, I had Travis's list of other buyers to go to next time I wanted to sell gold or jewels I found in the gloom. The entrees came and dragged me from my thoughts, and the four of us dug into the heaping plates of tacos and sides. It was all incredible. The steak and chicken were juicy and well-seasoned, and the tortillas tasted as if they were handmade. The wives and I barely spoke until we were all so full we couldn't eat another bite. "Oh, God!" I grinned as I leaned back in my chair. That was perfect, but now I think I gotta walk this off.
Me too.
Emrila nodded.
It never ceases to amaze me how different all the food is here. Back home, there are some differences in each region, but it's all basically the same. Here, it's like a whole different world in each place we eat. I love it.
Ipsith sighed with contentment.
It's like there's always something new to try.
It's a big world, I chuckled. Come on, we can look around for some gifts for people. I'd made a habit of getting gifts for the people I was closest to in the gloom. It had started as something my mother taught me about not showing up empty-handed somewhere, but now it was more like a tradition. If I knew I would be in or around the Great Forest, I'd bring candy or dried fruit for the brownies. Most of the time I'd get tea for Scourge, but I thought it might be good to mix it up this time. The ladies and I hit up an outdoor supply store, and I looked around at what they had to offer. But I went straight to the place where the water bottles and thermoses were displayed, and I picked out a large Yeti brand thermos. Because I'd heard they'd keep something hot or cold for ages, the Zinkari man would be able to brew a pot of tea when he woke up, pour it in this, and then have hot tea for the rest of the day. Bukoth was always a little hard to find something for. Last time I'd gotten him some nice bourbon. But the glib general didn't seem to have a lot of interests outside of his family and being a soldier. Hey, Nylame? I turned to the tall elven woman. What should we get for Bukoth? He seems to like cooking, right?
I never really thought about it.
The dark-haired woman shrugged.
But yes, he always volunteers to cook when we're away from the encampment.
I walked over to the next aisle and found a cool set of aluminum pots and pans with handles that could fold up along the sides. They stacked into a small carrying case and were pretty compact and lightweight when you put them all together. They weren't very big, but they would be easy to carry. I think these would be great, I said as I turned them over in my hands. Bukoth's soldier stew is great, but he could cook all kinds of stuff if he didn't have to throw everything into one big pot.
That's very true.
The Dolrath princess nodded.
I think you would like that a lot.
Where did Ipsith and Amrila get to? I asked as I looked around for my other wives.
I think they stopped to look at some plants near the front of the store.
Nylame replied with an amused smile. Ipsith loved plants, or anything she could nurture, really. Pretty soon, the new house would probably look like an indoor forest if she got her way. And I was happy to let her have her way. Well, I said as I stood up and looked around, I guess that leaves you and me to look around for something for your mom and Zuag.
You're going to get a gift for Captain Zuag?
The muscular woman asked with a raised eyebrow as we started to wander around the store again. Of course, I replied while I looked around for ideas. He and Bora helped Growler and Dread when they were hurt, and I think he could be a really strong ally to have in our corner. Zuag is well respected among the Karardu, but what do you get for an orc warrior?
A weapon,
Amrila replied as she came up the aisles with Ipsith. My first wife had a potted plant in her arms and a glow to her heart-shaped face. A weapon is a good idea, I nodded. We could stop at Nathan's on the way home and get him a really nice hunting or combat knife. It might be more of a tool than a weapon, since he carries a big-ass sword around, but I think as a soldier he'd appreciate it. We made our way up to the registers, and I paid for the thermos, camping cookware, and Ipsith's new plant that looked like long blades of thick grass that stood straight up. Then the four of us got back into the Rubicon and headed toward home. Ipsith was tired after a long day out, so I went ahead and dropped her and Amrila off at home. Nylame, on the other hand, rode with me to Nathan's army surplus. The warrior woman had become a bit of a gun nut since she'd gotten my old Bulgarian AK, and she loved to check out Nathan's new stock. When we entered the store, the familiar buzzer went off to announce our presence. Nathan was busy with a mannequin that he'd rigged to the ceiling to look like it was snorkeling in a ghillie suit, but the wild-haired shopkeeper turned when he heard the door and smiled.
Well, if it isn't my favorite customer,
Nathan laughed.
What brings you and the lovely lady in today?
Do you have any new guns in?
Nylame asked.
Don't you know it?
The sandy-haired man grinned back.
Come over to the counter. I got a really funny one.
Nylame looked over at me with an excited smile and raised an eyebrow, and then we followed the eccentric man to the glass display cases. Nathan grabbed the key ring at his belt, stretched it out on its retractable cord, and opened one of the locked gun cases. I enjoyed guns a lot, but my knowledge was far from exhaustive, so I didn't recognize the pistol that he pulled out, but it looked cool as fuck. It almost looked like an inverted black triangle when held, because of the way the jacket was designed.
This here is your standard Sibiano Chris Vector,
Nathan said, with a note of pride in his voice, as if he had introduced an old friend.
Now, it was originally designed to be a submachine gun, but given the law of the land, I couldn't sell those. Though, there are those clandestine types who buy or sell kits to convert the Vector to its former glory, but I wouldn't know much about that.
The wild-haired man said the last sentence as if he'd spoken to an unseen person in the shop, but I knew that was just the conspiracy theorist's natural paranoia.
Okay, I smiled and nodded. It does look really cool. Isn't it a treat?
Nathan replied with a broad grin as he dropped the empty mag, checked the chamber, and then handed it to me to look at. Obviously, the shopkeeper never stored any of his guns with ammo in them, but he religiously practiced gun safety at every step. It was one of the things I liked most about the man. Nathan also always had a Desert Eagle in a holster on his hip, which I suspected was loaded. I was sure that kept some people out of his store, but anyone who knew guns would be able to see right away they were in safe hands with the wild-eyed man.
And what's really nice about the Vector is it directs the recoil down instead of back, so there's less need to correct your aim between routes.
Nathan continued as he pointed at the cyberpunk-looking gun.
Now, while this is the magazine that comes with the Vector, I have extended 10mm mags that work with this pistol. Though, you should be aware, state law requires you to store any magazines with a capacity greater than 30 separate from your firearm.
What do you think? I asked Nyla May as I handed her the Chris Vector.
I really like it,
the dark-haired woman said as her eyes sparkled. Then it's yours, I grinned and winked at the muscular woman.
Really?
Nyla May giggled.
Oh, Eddie, I love it.
You gotta love a woman who'd rather have a fine firearm than a diamond,
Nathan chuckled.
And that's the perfect grip you got there. Some people like to grip it just above the magazine, but the mag release is right there. And you don't want to drop that mag right in the middle of things, if you know what I mean.
The sandy-haired man showed Nyla May how to drop the mag, lock the slide back, and explained how to take the Vector apart to clean it, with the energy of a dad teaching their kid to drive. The Dolrath woman listened with the concentration of a soldier, who was able to absorb large swaths of information at a single pass.
Anything else I can get you?
Nathan asked as he set the Vector down on the countertop.
Yeah,
I nodded. I'd like to get a red dot and a laser sight for the Vector, same ones you sold me for the Galil if you have them in stock. Two of those magazines you mentioned, 10 boxes of 10mm rounds, and I was thinking about getting a really nice hunting or combat knife or something for a friend.
I certainly have good options for both,
Nathan said as he rubbed the stubble on his chin with his one remaining hand.
But do they just collect knives or would they actually use it for utility?
He's a soldier, I said a little evasively, but I could see him wanting it more as a tool than for personal protection.
Say no more,
Nathan replied in a grand tone.
Have you considered getting him a Leatherman? One of the best multi-tools on the market. The Charge Plus has gotten some really cherry reviews recently, and I have a few in stock.
Fuck it, I grinned. I'll take two of them and keep one. My dad always carried a Leatherman in his pocket when I was a kid.
Your dad must be a wise man, then,
Nathan laughed.
Let me get those, and we'll see what the damage is. With your frequent flyer discount, of course.
Once Nathan had gathered everything up and was ringing me out, I noticed a flyer on the counter for what looked like a new gun range in the area. What's this? I asked, and I was excited to think that I wouldn't have to drive an hour, either out in the woods or to a decent range in a bigger town.
Oh,
Nathan shrugged as he looked at the flyer.
That's a place a buddy of mine just started. It's a full obstacle course and gun range. You can rent out the course and take classes. Obviously, you can't use live rounds on the obstacle course for safety reasons, but they have an indoor range, too. If you mention my name, I'm sure Earl would give you the friends and family deal.
Sweet, I said, as I pocketed a flyer for a future date night idea. After I paid, Nyla May and I said goodbye to Nathan and headed out to the Rubicon. You'd think from the look on the warrior's face that I'd bought her the moon.
I can't wait to try this Vector out.
Nyla May grinned as she gently placed it in the back of the Jeep.
Will you help me dial in the red dot when we get home?
Of course, I replied as I closed the back of the Rubicon. It's got to be ready for when we go back to the gloom tonight.